We're up to, in the laws of Netilat Yadayim, we're up to chapter Kuf Samach Beis 162. This law talks about Dine Hagbah Vishifshuf Hayadayim B'Netila. These are the laws of raising your hands and rubbing your hands together when you wash your hands. Uboites Zayin Si'ifim. And there is 16 subsections. As you know, when we wash our hands, first we wash our hands, and then we raise our hands, and then we swoosh them together, and then we make the bracha, okay? So he says like this. Maybe that wasn't familiar.
Two components?
Yes. So he says like this.
Just this, and then the bracha.
Yeah, but no, you raise your hand. Oh, so here, listen. That's why I'm glad you came today to listen to this. So in subsection one, it says like this. Seder netila mirvis. He gives you the order. This is the way the netila, the washing of the hands, is done. You start from a revis. That's a quarter of a look. Kahu, it's so. If you pour the entire reviz at once, which means, how do you pour on both hands? Two hands together, like somebody else is pouring on your hands, so you have another person pouring on both your hands. You might hold the thing with the edge of your fingers. And you turn it over and you pour on both of your hands together. Then your hands are clean. If you can get your hands with one shot, your hands are clean immediately. And of course, if you have lots of water, you pour a whole reviz on each hand. That's the easy thing. Then your hands are clean. No problem.
But they didn't have lots of water. They didn't have running water.
That's right. It was difficult.
You're done.
Yeah. But if you are coming to wash your hands, each hand's mirviz bilvad, you only have a quart, and each hand is going to get a little bit of water. So you must pour on each hand twice. Why? You can't do it only once. Because one time you pour on the hand and the water, nitmu hamayim hayad. The water became defiled from the hand. Since there is no reviz, which is the amount of tara, what?
Yochanan's bringing it.
Right here.
You just had to wait until the...
Thank you.
Amen.
Oh, good. And when you pour the second hand, the second waters clean off the first water. So the first water became top of the hand. They clean them up. Vesayad in the hand. And after you do that, then you have to wipe it off with a towel or some other item. That will remove the first water totally from the hand. Shumtara yiseda, that is additional cleanliness or additional purity. Those who say to Naches that the reason why we also dry off our hands is to accomplish further purity. So the reason is like this. So when you wash once, then you wash a second time. The second time removes the first time. And according to this opinion, the drying of the hands becomes part of the process of the washing the hands. What were you going
to
say?
So you do one, two, that, and then you raise you dry with a towel, and then you raise your hand?
No, first you raise, well,
one, two.
As we'll see, the...
What's the whole point of the washing? Was it like they knew about cleanliness then, or... You know, like, why would you think about...
You know what happened. You know that person came to him.
Washing your hands is the most important thing to prevent infection.
You know, that person came to Hillel, and he asked him to teach him the one Torah.
On one foot,
he asked him. So Shammai was more strict. He says, what do you mean? He threw him out. He says, how can I teach you the whole Torah? Hillel said, you know, I'll teach you what the whole Torah is. The whole Torah is have compassion, be good, love your neighbor. Don't do to somebody else you don't want to do. The rest is commentary. So I got to tell you, you're asking very good questions and very important questions. The only problem is we've been studying this already for a couple of days. So therefore, no, we went through this, and it's a little bit detailed. Just to say to you is, A, it is true that all the laws of the Torah have a tremendous value also physically. As, you know, people have found out, the medicine has found out, as for example, I'm not sure if everybody agrees that they say circumcision is healthy for the boys, as is washing of your hands has a has a benefit, but or and many other things that we follow by the kosher.
Jews never got the plague because they never ate pork.
However, that is not the direct reason. Those are side benefits that result from keeping the Torah. The direct reason is a spiritual reason. It's a reason that God commanded us to do the mitzvahs. It's not. So in this case, washing the hands is not a biblical command before eating. That's a rabbinic command, which there's a difference between a biblical command, which is in the Torah, or it's been instituted by the rabbis. The washing of the hands is instituted by the rabbis. Still, even though it's instituted by the rabbis, before we wash our hands, what do we say? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kirishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu. You have instructed us. Where did God instruct us? But this is the same rule for all rabbinic mitzvahs. Because whenever we listen to the rabbis, whenever the rabbis instituted something, and we follow their instruction, then we're actually listening to Hashem. It's like Hashem saying to us, you listen to what the rabbis will tell you. And you're not allowed to turn away. There's also prohibition against turning away from what the rabbis tell you.
So, but we're asking, what was the point?
Why did they say it?
Why did they have to wash your hands if they didn't understand the cleanliness? Which is pretty amazing that they were eons ahead of their time, because hand washing is, that's all you hear about, you know, preventing disease.
Right, yeah. And now, they didn't know that. But now the most washing, the important thing is to use soap, an antibacterial soap, and to wash your hands well, and to make sure. It's interesting how we were discussing yesterday about under your nails to make sure to get rid, that would be a chatzitza, no schmutz over there, which fits in a lot with the hygiene that we practice today.
So when surgeons operate, they have to clean under their nails first.
Right, yeah.
And then they scrub it.
And that's right.
Yeah, scrub it.
A lot of these laws. But the point over here, the rule becomes, it was a spiritual holiness. And before,
so to be clean was holy.
There was the rabbis basically said, hands, they don't want, and it is connected. He says, hands go everywhere, they touch everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't know. So before you can touch holy stuff, your food, and eat it, you can't just take your hands and touch that food. It had to do with holy stuff.
It's
very much in line with the practice of washing hands, you know, for hygiene purposes, because everybody knows your hands, you're touching everything, you're wearing it, and your hands definitely are most likely to carry the germs. And if you put it onto the bread or whatever you're eating, and then you put it into your mouth, you are actually bringing the germs inside your body.
Well, that's how kids get diseases.
That's all the sickness, right?
They touch
each other,
and then they each other, and then they put the hand in the mouth, and then they get sick.
And they get sick.
But that's not the reason in the morning to wash your hands.
That's separate. Okay, the morning has a spiritual impurity on the hands.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's a little bit. That's another reason. Yeah, but here right now we're talking about this until it's 9. But the point over here is that it's a spiritual, and then it was extended to everybody for all foods. That even though our food, as like Jana said, our food, in essentially, even though it's not holy bread, it's not, but any time you eat food, and if you remember, you make a bracha, you sit by your table, and that becomes sort of a spiritual, it becomes like holy bread.
Why don't you have to wash for other things besides bread?
Because the main, okay, we do, actually there is something, but because the main food that was holy is a grain food.
Okay.
Because truma, which is this basis of the holy food, comes from the grain. So that's why majority, actually, there is also an idea, and that to wash the hands, any times you eat something which has a liquid on it, and that is also because that
mitz tuma, that remains impurity. But we learned all about that, and it'll be a lot to cover it up.
The question was, is your body impure when you wake up and then you got to wash it after sleeping?
There it's different. There it says there is a certain sense when you lose control of your body because your mind is not in control. You're sleeping, so technically there is
fluid.
You're taken over. You've been taken over by unknown, but you're unconscious. You're basically unconscious. Actually, sleep is considered to be 1/60th of death. It's just almost you're leaving your everything you leave. What? Everything, right? Yeah.
That's why I don't sleep. I don't want that.
Yeah. And then, so when what takes over, you know, people are not in control. You know,
dreams.
Their mind wanders, their dreams, they're not in control. So therefore, when you get back, your neshama comes back, your spirit of holiness, but it says it still remains in the fingers and the hands until you actually wash your hands. And that's the way it consecutively, alternate, and that's the way you get rid of that tumah.
Well, everybody uses the same towel. You know what I'm saying?
Towels?
No, so wash your hands, and my in-law, you know, they have one towel.
Right.
It's, you know, that's...
It's not sanitary.
My husband uses a paper towel that I've ripped off.
Oh, all right, yeah.
I'll tell you a little story. There was in the, when I was growing up, so, you know, Chabad only started then. It's not what it's today, you know. It's a whole different ball game today. But that time when it started, so they had so they were looking, some of the elderly people that came, they didn't have any jobs. So they sort of, hired them to give them give them some money. So there was one elderly fellow. He was a very spiritual and a very nice man, but couldn't do much. So they gave him the job to be the shamus in the shul. What was his obligations? You know, maybe put the books back into the bookcase, change the towels. In my days, they used to have this towel that used to roll around. You know, either later on they had those big heavy towels on a roller, or the old days they had like those cloth that you use for tablecloth. You used to pull it out like a cloth and he used to go back. But anyways, so his job was to change, you know, he had a key to the closet over there with new towels. He has to wash them, whatever this was. And again, it wasn't such a crowd like today. It was a small crowd. But you'd go and try to wipe your hands. That thing was soaking like it would have been running water. Nobody changed it. So people would come to complain. There was the one on top of it. He was the gabbai in the shul. He was in charge of the shamus. So they came to the gabbai and they said to the gabbai, "What's going on?" He says, "It's the shamus's job to do that." So he said, "But he's not doing it. Why don't you fire him?" So he says, "I never see him to fire him." He's probably praying somewhere or meditating or doing some holy work, but he's not cleaning up. So you're talking about the towel being wet, you know, over there it was like really, I mean, it was dripping water. It wasn't, everybody was using the same towel and nobody bothered drying. I mean, but that was years ago. I mean, it's totally different. I mean, you know, it's like really.
I used the towel a few times. I don't think it's anything terrible. Not forever, but
Okay, let's do one more halacha, and then we'll call it a day. Va'afim nigav, here this is also represents a little the question. Even if a person nigav b'davar kosher in mayim levoyim, let's say you wiped your hand on something hard, the water does not get absorbed in it. Let's say you rub it against the wall, or on your head. Afilu b'saroysof, even on your hair, you can't scratch your head. You can wipe your hands on your head, but you can't scratch it. Why? Because you'd have to wash. If one scratches his head, has to wash his hands again, because that's a covered area. Underneath the hair is a covered area. Besides the point, the other people, the olden days, a lot of them had lice in their hair. So you were bound to touch a dead lice or something over there. That was another problem. But here we're talking about you didn't go in, you just rubbed your hands on the top, over the top of your head. Even though you're touching the water again, so you're not really drying it out because the water is still there, it's flowing on top. So his hands do not become tamei because they're touching on the moisture of the first water that were tamei, because they were already purified by the second water. First water, the second water cleanses the first water. If on each hand you pour one, which is like you make a real big, you know, it's like you can either take one, two, or you can make one and you make it like a real, like as if it's two in one shot. You, instead of dividing it into two, you pour a lot the first time. So in other words, that there is enough for it to go around the hand that needs two times. The water is clean as if you pour twice. You don't need new water, you don't need to stop and then put another water. The second water is clean the first water just by coming afterwards if you have a sufficient amount of water. And this would only apply in Gimel by medvaru shava koyav fne atzmi. That's if you pour each hand by itself. Avlim shava shtayel kachas, but if you pour on both hands together, ein shtifa achas mel starum klau, one pour is not going to help to clean eli imkein, shofech alim reviz basachas, you must pour a reviz at once. Avapachos me reviz, but less than reviz, apish amayim boi mishuri, tare dachs boi mishuri, kum samach, even though they come from leftover tare, if you want to wash both your hands, you have to do a reviz. Only in the case where you do it two times. In other words, if you're going to use less than a reviz,
two or three, it's two.
Halachically, it's two. Chabad does three.
When I go to my in-laws, they go one, two, three.
Yeah.
Okay, they do the Chabad. They do the Chabad tradition.
Why
Chabad
that,
tradition. Why?
The more is better.
The more is better. No, the more is better.
So modern Orthodox is two and Chabad is three?
It's not only modern Orthodox. No. You'll find even the Haredi, some will do two. It's mostly a Chabad tradition. One of the reasons is maybe, I'm just saying that, it's brought down halacha. There is halachic reasoning for that, one of the things that someone can just say off the top of their head without looking is to make this similar to the other netilas yadayim, because we're afraid if you start making this two and that three, but in the morning you need three, and so here with two to standardize it, you know, make it three, so we know. Even
no,
though
no
over there is alternate. How do you say? Keep it simple.
Kiss.
It was simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Or no brainer.
Or shlemiel.
Okay,
no brainer.
Yeah.
It just one size fits all.
One size fits all. So if I start telling you, here's two, here's three, yeah. You know, what am I going to do here? Three or two? I don't remember. You know, so just three.
So what's the difference in the morning and after bread?
No, he's saying it's three every time, right?
Over there, it's alternate three. But it's three. Over there, because that's the way the Ruach Tumah goes off, it's different. That's the way for tradition. Over there, over there it's three for sure. But here it's two, so maybe just to keep it straight, it's just easier to, everything, especially today, people don't like to think too much. They just like to, you know, do it,
follow
it, a path, and that's it, keep it straight. Matter of fact, I mean, you have to know where you say it. Many halachas are in such a way that they keep it standard. You know, they don't start making every case differently because you can't confuse people.
Well, same thing in medicine, they'll